log cabin for a home. Had all they needed, all they could want, except for a child of their own. So she got out the flour, sugar and spice, and rolled out little gingerbread boy. Blew magic kisses once and twice, and when he jumped from the oven, she cried tears of joy. And he sang, run, 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 fast as you can. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. On and on and on and on he ran, till he came upon a Jersey cow. Wait right there, little gingerbread man, I'm feeling kinda hungry right now. But he sang, run, 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 fast as you can. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. I've run from a little old woman and a little old man, and I can run away from you too, I can. Came upon a horse in a field of green. Wait right there, little gingerbread man, you're the tastiest little morsel that I've ever seen. But he sang, run, 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 fast as you can. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. I've run from a little old woman. I've run from a Jersey cow, and I can run away from you too, I can. On and on and on and on he ran, till he came upon a river wide. The fox was standing by the rushes, there was no place left for him to hide. But he sang, run, 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 fast as you can. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. I've run from a little old woman and a little old man. I've run from a Jersey cow and a horse in a field of green. And run away from you too, I can. Well, I would never try to eat you, the fox said with a grin. But if you'd like to cross the river, why not hop upon my back and I will swim. It jumped into the water of the river fast and strong. You should climb up on my head now, Wouldn't want to get carried along. Oh my, the water's getting deeper. See how the current flows? I'm having a little trouble swimming. Perhaps you'd better climb up on my nose. With a snip, snap of his snout, the fox's spirits sank, 'cause the gingerbread boy went off flying, and he landed safely on the opposite bank, singing, run, 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 fast as you can. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. Run, 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 fast as you can. Can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. On and on and on and on he ran. On and on and on and on he ran. On and on and on and on he ran. On and on and on and on he ran.
That's the Gingerbread Man by the Campfire Crew, featuring Andrew Two Tall Queen. I had a chance to meet Andrew at this year's Folk Music Ontario Conference. He is our guest in the Folk Roots Radio studio. How are you doing today, Andrew?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me here, Jan.
So you've been a children's entertainer for quite a while. Interesting switch, though, because you're now not just Andrew Two Tall Queen, you're also part of the Campfire Crew. So do you want to explain the switch there?
Exactly. So back in 2004, I put out my first kids album, Alligator Tracks. And I put out two more albums since then, and I've got some folk music awards and songwriting awards and had a whole lot of fun. Now, in all this time, my wife, Karen Still, has been a part of this in songwriting and in the marketing and the web design and all this. In the last 2 years, finally twisted her arm and convinced her to join me on stage. And it was actually at Shilta Valley Folk Festival. It was the first time, her first gig on stage. And it worked really well. It went over so much fun. And for the last, so that's been 2 years now that we've been performing together. And, well, it was just, it was no fun being introduced over and over again as Andrew Queen, and then having, and Karen Still as well. So we rebranded. So we've rebranded as the Campfire Crew. And, you know, Campfire Crew, it's all about the kids' music, the silly summer camp vibe, the call and repeat, the storytelling and all that stuff that goes along with campfires.
One of the things that I know about summer festivals is that pretty much everybody that goes still has that big kid inside them.
It's true. Actually, it's not surprising to see adults wander by and stop and hang out for a song or two that don't have kids. They're just stopping by because it's fun music. And, you know, in some cases, I'm bringing back old songs from their old days. Most of what we do is original, but there's still a smattering of the old traditional songs, the going on a gator hunt and the mama don't allow and silly action songs, you know.
Tell us how you got involved in music, because I don't imagine that you started out thinking, I'm going to be a children's entertainer.
I wish I had. Back in 1991, my nephew was involved in a band called Jughead in Toronto. He and another guy, that was Travis Good, and this other guy, Lopez Phillips, started this band called Jughead, and they put out they had a tape that was just a live thing from they did at the Drake. And I loved this music. This was old-timey bluegrass, jug band, Canadiana, train songs, and lots of whooping and hollering. And the thing was, they didn't have anybody. There were a lot of people singing, but all in unison. And I thought, oh, this is dying for harmonies. I went to one of their gigs at Sneaky D's, and I said, can I just sing harmonies with you guys? I know a lot of your songs. And they said, yeah, sure, come on up. So I did, and that was it. They said, you can come back anytime. And 2 weeks later, my twin brother, he was working for the Good Brothers at the time as a roadie. And he said, wow, that looks like so much fun. You're gigging all the time. And he had just picked up accordion months earlier and so he pushed his way on. So yeah, we both joined Jughead. So that was my musical, that was my stage introduction to the stage. And that was, yeah, like I said, 91, and played with Jughead matinees at Sneaky D's and the Horseshoe and the Alma Combo over the years. We did winter matinees there and played a lot of the Ontario and even Canada Folk Fest, did one tour across Canada. And I guess we started fizzling out a little bit around 2000, and I had been supply teaching for that whole time. And anytime I supply teach, I bring a guitar in, as long as they're younger kids, you know. And it was, you know, the same things, just doing some of those fun old songs that I remembered from camp, and then realized, well, I could do this on my own. I don't need the whole big band. Jughead was a 10-person band, so you can imagine what it was like trying to tour around or even just get everybody together for a band meeting. So, doing solo kids music, that was, 2004 was the first album I put out and played at I was living in Guelph at the time and played the Guelph Library was my very first gig. And then within a few months, I shot the CD over to Hillside and they had me at, played Hillside Festival in their family tent. So that was an exciting beginning to the kids' music career.
It was the way you said, oh, I wish I'd realized that I should have done this earlier.
Uh-huh.
Is it really that good? As a niche that you know, being a children's entertainer?
For me, it is. It's a lot of fun. I do love it. I really love the feedback, the thrill from kids and seeing the look on faces and, you know, maybe telling a scary part of a song or something and seeing their eyes open up wide. And I guess part of that, I wish I had, if I had known, you know, imagine if instead of starting this kid's career at 2004, what if I had started in 1984 or 1994? Well, that was back in the days of tapes and albums and CDs and merchandise sales that don't really exist anymore. And TV, you know, even TV it's pretty hard to, you don't see a lot of live musicians on they're there, but you know, there's not like the Fred Penner type show that anymore nowadays. Not that I know of anyway, little bits of it on Treehouse TV and stuff. So whatever, you can't turn back the time. Got to go.
And the fact that you teach as well, and are you still supply teaching?
I do. Yeah.
And that probably is a good way to work on new material and test it in front of a live audience.
Absolutely. How did you guess that? As long as it's, you know, under about grade 3, grade 4 or something like that, I'll bring a guitar in just in case. There's not always time to sneak music in the day, but if there is, I will. And like you said, I can try out new material. Sometimes with older grades, say grade 6, 7 and 8, I have even gone in and said, okay, look, I know you're not kids, but you guys know I do kids music. Can I try something out on you that I've never tried before? And they go, yeah. And then I'll sing them the song and then I'll ask their advice and they'll say, oh, kids, my little sister would love that. And then someone admits, I still love it when you do that alligator song or whatever. But yes, it's a perfect way to test stuff out because I find most often, if I really like it, it'll go over well. Every now and then I'll find that kids ask for something that surprises me. So they'll say, oh, do that song. I went, what, really? That song? When? How do you know that? You sang it for us 2 years ago. Really? Okay. I don't sing that song very often, but okay. So I, you know, it's, you got to listen to what, listen to their ears. It's their minds that are there that I got to respond to. So
when you're producing an album of kids' music, mm-hmm. how many songs are songs that you have written yourselves and how many songs are trad songs that, you know, that are well known mm-hmm. as being kids' music?
Right. Almost all original. I would say a quarter traditional. Going back to my early days of supply teaching, and I remember being a little surprised when kids didn't know the song Mama Don't Allow. And I thought, really? I thought everybody knew that song. Okay, fine. I changed the Going on a Bear Hunt chant into a song. I just put music to it and changed it to Going on a Gator Hunt for no reason, just to change it. So, and then I found that eventually people were recognizing that because there are books of going on a bear hunt and, you know, picture books, and they know it from that. They don't know it from people singing a song. So I was finding that people should know this. So yes, it's a balance of, I want this younger generation or all these younger generations I don't want these songs to be lost and just in the folk song books or the Cub Scouts books. They have, you know, endless songs published too. And it's nice to feel that I'm passing that torch along, or, you know, to keep that love of that silly music. And sure, introduce them to mine as well at the same time. That's important as well, of course.
You brought a guitar into the studio.
Can I play it?
I would love it.
Oh, great.
There's a big kid in me, so I'd love to hear something. What are you going to play for us?
Okay, well, you know what? I'd like to play one that's not yet recorded. That Gingerbread Man song, that's brand new. We just posted that on Wednesday, 4 days ago. And so this song has not been recorded either. I've only really just finished writing it. So this song, Hansel and Gretel, this is an example of a song that, you know, it's a little deeper and darker than the typical fairy tale songs, you know. And I remember the first time I showed it to a grade 6, 7 class, they said, they said, I don't know about that line, you know, where Gretel locks the witch into the oven, you know, it's a big scary end. And I said something about, and locked her in eternal flames was the line I had written. And then I said, so, well, what do you think of that? And someone said, well, that eternal flames, doesn't that mean she went down there? Well, I guess, to be honest, that is sort of what I was thinking. And I guess really that's maybe not so appropriate for kids. So this is an example of a song that kids have really helped me out changing. And and another thing I had said, Gretel pushed with all her might. She pushed with all her love. And they said, why is she pushing with love? And I said, well, she's pushing with love to save her brother's life, right? But at the same time, I could hear that was what they're questioning, their mind questioned right off. So I took that line out and changed it. So, alrighty, Hansel and Gretel, here we go.
Hansel and Gretel love their dear daddy, but their stepmother wanted them gone. A plan she did conceive, in the forest they would leave the children abandoned all alone. Next morning, Hansel gathered small pebbles in the pockets of the pants he did wear. Stepmother led the way, but Hansel did stray behind, dropping pebbles here and there. They were cold and dark in the deep, dark forest. They were lost and all alone. By the moonlight pale, they followed the trail of pebbles back to their home. Hansel and Gretel, together they stood, a brother and sister, too clever to be fooled. They're laking back to the woods next morning, scattering breadcrumbs behind. Little birdies ate their bread, looming danger and dread. Home sweet home they might never find. They stumble upon a cottage made of candy and broke off a piece to try. Wicked witch did appear, terrified and paralyzed with fear. She led them both inside. The witch decided to fatten up Hansel and locked him in a cage in her home. Witch's eyesight was dim, Hansel's finger felt thin, 'cause he'd held out a chicken bone. Hansel and Gretel, together they stood, a brother and sister, too clever to be fooled. The witch soon became impatient, and she cackled, I'll wait no more. Gretel thought quick, said that Hansel would not fit through the oven door. The witch shrieked, fiddlesticks, poppycock, malarkey, enough of your childish games. She took a little look in the oven where she'd cook, and Gretel pushed her into the flames. Hansel and Gretel, together they stood, a brother and sister, too clever to be fooled. Took a look around the cottage, found a wooden box filled with gold. They made their way back home, found their stepmother gone, and lived happily thereafter, I am told. Hansel and Gretel,
Together they stood, a brother and sister, too clever to be fooled.
That's Andrew Too Tall Queen live on Folk Roots Radio. Today we're at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. And for anyone that gets a little scared, that is a story about Hansel and Gretel. And unfortunately, bad things happen to the witch in this story. But yeah. Otherwise, it was a happy ending.
Otherwise, a happy ending. And it is a shame that, in the traditional ones, the witches always get the bad. We know who the witches were. They were the wise medicine women, right? And they're the ones that keep getting the worst of it all.
I wonder, you know, when you're writing songs for kids, one of the things I love is where you slip lines in that appeal to adults. Do you do that in your songs?
Or? Well, you know, I try to make it sophisticated, at least in the rhyming, and try to make it so that maybe even some of the words that you're using might not be your typical vocabulary that a kid would use, but make them think about it in context to learn now. And yeah, I mean, definitely try to make an attempt so that adults can get the nod and feel like they're part of it as well.
It's funny because, you know, when I grew up in the UK, and when I was a kid, I used to play a couple of Val Dunican albums. I don't know if you know Val Dunican. Funny enough, he had a song called Walk Tall, I think was his biggest hit in the UK. Oh. You maybe should cover that sometime.
I should check it out.
Yeah, Walk Tall by Val Dunican.
Val Dunican.
The live shows, you know, they always say that kids are the hardest audience. What helps under those situations? Is it just being larger than life? Because quite clearly, you are very tall.
Yeah, really.
You do come over as being a little larger than life. Is that the key?
You know what? They definitely, kids get a kick out of that for seeing that, you know, they hardly come up to my knees or something. But it's, you know what, like any musician, it's reading the crowd and trying to decide, because a big part of what I want to get from them is to sing along. Now, you know, in something like that, it would be singing along with the chorus, Hansel and Gretel singing along. So I write my fairy tale songs with singable choruses, so they're listening carefully to the verses and the story, but singing and joining me on that. If they're not, or in the call and repeat songs, going on a gator hunt, going on a gator hunt, going to catch a big one. I want them to be singing that out loud, shouting those things out loud. And so if it's a tentative audience where they're not really, then I don't want to waste it by starting off with a song like that where I'm really counting on them to call back on it. And I lead them into it so that because some people aren't always comfortable using their voices. And adults as well. And usually the kids aren't. If the adult isn't, the kid isn't either.
Yeah, I think that's something that's often discouraged as you get older.
Right.
You know, when you're a kid, you're often more freely able to express yourself. And then, you know, when you become an adult, it's like, oh.
I know. Yeah. And you've already been told to just mouth the words in the back of the choir. So why would I do this now? Yeah. So, yeah, I find that once to be able to at least gauge that audience so that when you pull out that big, you know, the extra fun and those action songs, same thing. If they're not comfortable with the, you know, with what's going on, they're not going to stand up and start doing actions. If we start off with something that, say, like one of these fairy tale songs where all they have to do is listen, enjoy, and maybe say, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? That's the Little Red Riding Hood song. If they did do that, then they're ready to take that next step. They've already heard how good it feels, because this is the thing. When you're part of a bigger group, like a choir, but I mean, in an audience that's the audience is singing along, they become part of the show. They've become part of creating the sound. And kids get that. So do adults, but kids get it big time. And once they feel that they've been part of it, that gives them permission to really let out. So if I start the song and they're just sort of mumbling back the call and repeat, then I'll say, can you say that louder for me? Out of great big mouth full of sharp teeth. So they'll respond. If you just gotta eke it out of them, you know.
You know, I wish all supply teachers were like you.
Oh, thank you. I have fun with it.
Yeah.
I do have
when you write songs, I notice that you write together with Karen, or do
very
you write
often.
Separately?
Yeah. Very often, I would say Well, I mean, I started off writing on my own, but even on our first CD, there are a few songs that we were writing songs about colors. So one about green, one about red, one about all that blue, all these different color songs, and aiming at the younger audience. And she was part of that. More recently, in the last few years, Karen has been, she will get inspired and she'll fire off 4 sheets of lyrics all in one night, and there, go, make a song out of it, and maybe do it to this melody, you know, she'll have a melody idea, and then I'll go, oh, wow, this is fantastic, and I'll just pare it down and turn this into a chorus, actually, 2 years ago, I was in a classroom, and there was a book about dealing with bullying, and it was a book, basically, it was about the feeling of having a pebble in your tummy, and, you know, you're not feeling great, whatever, someone was mean to you, or maybe you're just having a bad day, and that pebble can grow. So it feels like there's a rock in there. If someone does something mean to you or something's really going wrong, it can feel like a boulder is in your tummy. You don't want to eat or anything. So she wrote this book, a picture book, about a kid going to school, and he's feeling like this, he's having a bad day. New kid comes into class. He can see this new kid also is feeling nervous, isn't feeling great, has that pebble in his tummy. Goes out at recess, some bully comes by and stomps on the new kid's toe. Well, what does the main character do but come up and say, you know what? That guy does that to everybody. He did it to me just yesterday, and I think he's just angry. Hey, do you want to go play in the sandbox? And the other kid goes, sure, I love playing in sand. So off they go, and next thing you know, they're having fun. That pebble, that rock, has shrunk down into a little pebble and turns into a seed of friendship that grows a tree inside both kids. So I loved the idea of the book because it's not trying to stop bullying, but it's trying to recognize that when stuff goes wrong, you can make a difference. So if you happen to know that any kid can do this, or adult, but still on the playground or something, if someone's being left out or deliberately excluded from a game or something, or you can always go up to them and say, hey, you wanna play with me? Or if someone was mean to them, you can just sit with them and talk or nothing or whatever. But just doing something for that person can turn their day around. So we wrote a song on that. And I brought the book home and I showed Karen and I said, look at this cool book. We got to write a song. And the author was so pleased that we were going to do this. And about a week later, I came home after I was on the road that day, and I was writing in the car in my brain, just writing. I said, Karen, I've got some ideas here. We got to type them out before I forget them. I want to tell them. And she went, oh, okay. I just came up with a bunch of ideas too. I said, okay, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Just for now, let's get these down and we'll take a look at yours and we'll put them together. And we looked at them and they were very, very different ideas, very, very different song ideas of how to approach telling this story. And I said, that's fine. That's fine. Maybe we can mix it. Maybe we choose one over the air. It doesn't matter. More ideas is better than not enough. So, and me, I let stuff sit for ages. I'll let it sit for months and just run through the brain. Not Karen. 2 days later, she came up with the finished product, and she did mix both of our ideas, and she came up with a song called It Just Takes One, and now it's being used, it's a video, and it's being used in schools on the purple t-shirt day and
that's
pink
wonderful.
T-shirt day and stuff like that. So so the combo writing is a great process for us, and you know, she has a lot of writing ideas and then sometimes throws it at me to put the music on.
Can we play another song live?
Oh, sure. Cool. Absolutely. Do you want to participate and we'll do the gator hunt and then you have to do the callback?
Okay.
That's the only way that'll work. So
okay,
that
let's do the
callback
gator
on it. Okay, we've been talking about this gator hunt song so much.
I suckered myself.
So it's this is part of it. So this is all about just using your voice to call back. You don't even have to sing it into the mic, it just has to be in there. All right. Well, folks at home, if you're standing up, you can start stepping to the beat as if you're walking down a path. If you're sitting down like I'm gonna ask Jan to do, could you tap your thighs to the beat? Tap, 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 as if you were walking down a path. That's it. Here we go. And then all you gotta do is say whatever I say. Going on a gator hunt.
Going on a gator hunt.
Gonna catch a big one.
Gonna catch a big one.
I'm not scared.
I'm not scared.
Long tail,
long tail, rough scales,
and a mouth full of big sharp teeth. Chomp, chomp,
a mouth full of big sharp teeth.
jump, jump.
Oh yeah, there's actions to all this too. They can't see it, but you can all imagine the big alligator jaws going chomp, chomp. Okay, here we go.
Uh-oh.
A pond.
A pond.
A slimy, grimy pond.
A slimy, grimy pond.
Can't go over it.
Can't get over it.
Can't go under it.
Can't go under it.
Can't go around it.
Can't go around it.
I guess we'll have to swim.
I guess we'll have to swim.
All right, let's dive in with a great big splash. Ready? One, two, three. All right, front crawl. Swish, 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 swish. And doggy paddle. That's it, you got it. All right, push out of the water, wipe your face and shake off. All right, back on the path again.
Going on a gator hunt.
Going on a gator hunt.
Gonna catch a big one.
Gonna catch a big one.
I'm not scared.
I'm not scared.
Long tail.
Long tail.
Rough scales.
Rough scales.
And a mouthful of big sharp teeth. Chomp, chomp.
And a mouthful of big sharp teeth. Chomp, chomp.
Uh-oh. A forest.
A forest.
A wrangly, tangly forest.
A wrangly, tangly forest?
Can't go over it.
Can't go over it.
Can't go under it.
Can't go under it.
Can't go around it.
Can't go around it.
I guess we'll have to climb through.
I guess we'll have to climb through.
All right, if you're sitting down, folks, I need you to stand up. And first we're going to, oh, over that big log. That's it, over the log. And now we climb up the branches. Reach up high. Watch out for thorns, Jan. There could be thorns.
Ow, there are
thorns. Okay, let's climb back down. And there we go. And now we can jump from the lowest branch. One, two, three. Ooh, up. Okay. Hey, look, there's a vine. Let's grab on the vine and we'll swing over the river. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Whoa! Okay, back on the path again.
Going on a gator hunt.
Going on a gator hunt.
Gonna catch a big one.
Gonna catch a big one.
I'm not scared.
I'm not scared.
Long tail.
Long tail.
Rough scales.
Rough scales.
And a mouthful of big sharp teeth. Chomp, chomp.
And a mouthful of big sharp teeth. Chomp, chomp.
A swamp.
A swamp.
Pew. I gotta plug your nose for that one. It's an inky, stinky swamp.
An inky, stinky swamp.
Yeah. Can't go over it.
Can't go under it.
Can't go under it.
Can't go under it.
Can't go around it.
Can't go around it.
Guess we'll have to walk through.
Guess we'll have to walk through.
All right. You know how to the sound that your feet make if you're in really deep muck? You know that sound?
No.
All right, that's it. That's the sound. Put your hand just under the mud. Ooh, a long tail.
Long tail.
Rough scales.
Rough scales.
Sharp teeth.
Oh.
It must be an alligator. Okay, first.
An alligator?
Yes, an alligator. Okay, we gotta get out of this swamp, but fast. Okay, here we go. Okay, back on the path again. Tap your thighs really fast. Tap, 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 tap. We're going home, but first we're gonna have to swing over the vine. Ready, up you get. Swing the vine. Here we go.
Whoa!
Up the trees, watch out for the thorns. Ouch, 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 ouch. Back down the trees and jump off the lowest branch. And then step over the big branch and back on the path again. Now we're going home, but first we gotta dive and cross into the pond. Let's dive in with a great big splash. Swish, 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 swish. Okay, now get out of the water and wipe your face off and shake. And now back on the path again. We're almost home. There's your house. Run up the driveway, grab the front door and open it. Now slam it, shunk, and lock it. See you later, alligator.
See you later, alligator.
In a wild crocodile.
In a wild crocodile.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was so much fun.
Oh, brought out the inner kid from Jan, too.
That, yeah, well, it's not too far under the
surface.
It wasn't
too far to dig.
No, it wasn't. That's, what's that called? Going on,
going on a gator hunt.
Going That's on a gator hunt. That was absolutely fabulous. When people hear this, I'm going to get lots of stories about it.
So oh, that
was
boy. Great.
But that was wonderful. I mean, that was really wonderful. I can see how much...
Well, and you know what? People at home can't necessarily guess the all the actions, but there's actions for the, you know, the long tail. You reach your hand out in the rough scales. You rub the hands up and down over the scales. So it's all about the actions and the sound effects. And that's the example of what I mean, how if they're up for it, they are all of a sudden very much part of the song. They're very much part of the whole sound of it and the whole acting it all out. So,
and I imagine that, I mean, you must feel great when you come off one of these performances with kids because, you know,
you can see it right now
I've
too,
done
eh?
A little, I've done a little puppeteering and, you know, at different times. I mean, it's something that I kind of played with. And one of the best things is to see how much they get into it. I mean... You know, and believe me, I'm quite the novice at that, but I was really thrilled.
When you got a really positive response,
oh, yeah.
It fills you up with energy.
Yeah.
It's you feed off of that. You can definitely feed off of that.
Tell me a little bit about the live performance, because you're now the Campfire Crew.
Right.
So that's Karen... much more involved.
Exactly. So she will be singing, you know, all those call and repeat parts. She plays washboard and she plays cajon. She's also, you know, what I've found the coolest thing is I don't have to lead the actions anymore. Now that she's with me, I don't have to show the actions. I play the song and sing the song. She leads all the actions. So at first it was a little different getting used to seeing kids staring, not at me, but at her, and you know, especially because she was playing the washboard and you see kids imitating it and like they've maybe never seen someone use this washboard thing. They may have never seen a real washboard before or a cajon, something you sit down and kids start imitating it, tapping the floor and stuff. So yeah, I guess for about 2 years now, Karen has been consistent with me on stage. Every now and then people, you know, a smaller library gig or something, they might just ask for me alone. And so I'll still do solo shows. But the exciting thing is we've got two boys, Ivan and Lewis. They're 9 and 12. And this past year, I would say they've joined us on stage about 10 times, maybe. And so they both sing. They'd sing all these choruses or they'll do these call and repeats like you just did now, and actions as well. And then Lewis will be playing some shakers or spoons. We do stone soup, so he'll play some wooden spoons for stone soup. And Ivan has been, he's brought a ukulele on stage and also his classical guitar and just backing up on that. And it's so much fun having the whole family involved. And it's great because you can see the kids looking and, you know, they're very, what's the word? They're impressed that a kid could be part of this. In some cases, you can see, I remember up at Red Rock Folk Festival this past August, and we did a family set on the Sunday. And there was a group of girls that were, I don't know, as young as maybe 10, or 4 or 5 of them, and the oldest was maybe 14. For one, that's a little bit on the older edge of who would normally come and watch it. But at a folk festival, you get all ages and stuff. So I didn't really, no big difference. But the funny thing that I didn't notice until I talked to those girls' moms was that they said, oh, wasn't that wild how they just all lay there staring straight at Ivan? And I went, what? And then I was like, of course they were, because Ivan was over off on the left and that's where they were all lined up sitting, and they stared at him the whole time playing his guitar or his baritone ukulele. And, oh, it was fun. So, yeah, I'm trying not to push them too hard. I'm trying to keep them involved so that they're, because I love to have them in part of it, you know, not only just as the family band, but it really adds so much to it. And if it's a way that I can introduce them to this whole musical world, and, you know,
that's so neat. Yeah. If people want to learn more about Andrew Queen and the Campfire Crew, how can they do that?
I guess the easiest way is to get, just to go online, the Campfire Crew. We never even mentioned that. The Gingerbread Man, folk conference now. I've been walking around half the day in a Little Red Riding outfit. You saw me in the Little Red Riding Hood today, and handing out Gingerbread Man, because that Gingerbread Man song we just recorded 2-3 weeks ago and finished the mix this week. And Karen has she's taken an OAC grant, and an artist friend who goes by Cuckoo Kajoo, she paints on wood. So she's painted all these different characters from our fairy tale songs, and then Karen has turned these, taken these, photoshopped them into book pages. So we now have illustrated books for, the grant covers for 8 songs. So the Gingerbread Man was the 8th song. And if you go to the campfirecrew.ca, you'll find animated videos, music videos for Gingerbread Man, Little Red, Three Pigs, Billy Goat's Gruff, and Stone Soup. And they're so fun. They're very colorful. The painted characters are really beautiful detail and little buttons and stuff, and it's really done quite well. And even though Karen is not a trained animator, she just jumped in with both feet and, you know, watched the YouTube video on how to use Toon Boom, which is the program, and next thing she's come up with some really fantastic work.
You know, the neat thing about kids' music is it's really liberating. Is anyone who heard me sing on that?
You let go.
It's just, I just let it go and had fun.
You put on a voice too, didn't you?
Oh, it's just like I was, yeah, and it's great. I'm so pleased you came in to talk to me today. Oh. We're going to finish with another track from one of your albums. What would you like us to play?
Let's see. Well, you know what I was mentioning? Do you have room for another 5-minute? Those two were both long songs, weren't they?
We can wait a five-minute.
This is the thing. All these storytelling songs, they take quite a while to wind the yarn. Well, so I was mentioning Little Red. So that's a song that won a prize in the International Songwriting Competition. So, and get ready to sing along with this one, because it's you get to sing along at home with this one, folks. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Just keep on saying that all the way through. You can't go wrong. This is Big Troubles for Little Red.
That's wonderful. Andrew Two Tall Queen has been our guest on Folk Roots Radio today. This is Big Troubles for Little Red.
You got it.
It's been great fun.
Thanks so again. Much, Jen.
Once upon a time in the deep dark woods, along came Little Red Riding Hood. She was carrying a basket of muffins and jam to have for tea with her dear old Gran. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf came a-sneaking by. He found Little Red and he told her lies about a shortcut to Grandma's off the path. She could pick wild flowers and get there fast. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The wolf come knocking on Granny's door. Granny picked her slippers up from the floor. The wolf burst in, Granny screamed in fright, and he gulped her down in one big bite. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? He looked in the mirror, combed his hair. He put on Granny's glasses and her frilly underwear. He jumped under the covers of Grandma's bed, waited for the voice of Little Red singing, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Looks like big trouble for Little Red Riding Hood. That wolf's up to no good in the middle of the deep dark woods. Looks like big trouble for Little Red Riding Hood in the middle of the deep dark woods. big eyes, you got grandma. Your ears are hairy, your teeth look scary, grandma. I'm sorry, but you really look a fright. Dear, dear, all the better to see and hear with. Now sit right down and bring those goodies here if you'd like to join your grandma for a bite. Just then Little Red spun around. Wolf leapt out of bed in a single bound. Slipped all over the hardwood floor. Chased Little Red out the kitchen door.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
She ran across the yard to the garden shed. Picked up an axe, swung it above her head. It wiggled and wobbled to and fro. Landed with a clunk on the wolf's big toe.
Oh! Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
He hollered in pain. It wasn't very funny when a gurgling noise erupted from his tummy. He hopped and hollered and slobbered and slurped. And out popped Granny in one big burp.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
Granny scolded, shame on you. Wolf said, I was hungry, what was I supposed to do? They gave him a snack and asked him to stay to feed Granny's pet wolf till the end of her day.
Singing, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Looks like no trouble for Little Red Riding Hood. That wolf's up to no good in the middle of the deep dark wood. Looks like no trouble